We got Esso here today. I'm excited. It's Tristina Love, the pull-up show. Shouts to Lavish Live. Shouts to Pop This Pod Network, right? I always get tongue
Oh,
twisted.
y'all on the
But
network already? Congratulations. I ain't on no motherfucking
oh
network.
come on. Don't
I'm solo
we're
out
not gonna
here.
let Esso do this right
I'm
now.
solo out here. I do everything myself. Well, we do everything
That's
ourselves.
right.
But
That's
yeah.
right. And to say Esso, seeing the journey, reading your bio. I mean, okay, first of all, we got Bronx born,
Yes.
Queens raised.
Southside Jamaica, to be
Oh,
exact.
to be exact. I mean, you New York, just with the upbringing in New York.
Southside Jamaica, to be exact. And I went to school uptown. I played
Yo,
basketball, went to school uptown.
you played basketball and
Yeah,
baseball.
baseball, too.
'Cause to me, that's you got to choose.
Yeah.
There's
I should have
people
started with
getting.
baseball. I was very good at basketball, but I was a bigger baseball star.
Wow.
Yeah, but no girls came to the baseball games, and it was kind of whack. So once you played a so once you play a summer basketball back then, once you played a summer basketball tournament and you went on the road and you played Rucker and you played in the Bronx and all over Brooklyn and stuff like that, it just baseball wasn't providing that for me. You got to be around the chicks, you got to be around the niggas that was doing shit. You got to feel the pulse of the city. You got a lot of attention. You got a lot of respect. You wasn't getting that from baseball.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were top six. What was it,
Top
60?
60 in 1990 something.
Point
Yeah,
guard.
the point guard. Yeah.
And I mean, right now, you like top 60 with interviews in the culture. So, I
Nah,
mean, you know,
I'm top five right now. I'm
I was
top
just trying to
five.
be cute with you know,
Nah,
the little reference. But, all right, all
nah. You gotta be
right,
writing exactly about right now. I'm top five right now. Shit might be four because there's some other people's shows that I left and they doing the same. So I think I leapfrogged them as well.
leapfrogging out here.
You gotta work.
Okay, well, first and foremost, what did being an athlete teach you that's helped you, fueled you for what you're doing today?
Hunger, passion. See, I came up at a totally different time. I came up with Skip to my Lou, who's Rafer Alston. He's from Queens. I came up with Shaheen, coach of Seton Hall, McDonald's All-American, MVP. Your Dwayne Woodward, who had a tremendous career across seas. His nickname is 40. He played at Boston College. You had Jamal Robinson, who went to the University of fucking Virginia and got drafted. Stymie, it's all these people that I played ball with. So you had to, I'm saying that to say, shout out to Bunkin and Kareem. You had to work on your game all night long to be able to just get on the court as a point guard with these niggas. These niggas, Shaheen and Rafer, was all world since before I was even playing basketball. They was all world when I was playing baseball. So you had to work on your game just to be able just to get on the court with these guys. You know what I'm saying? People didn't really take notice of me until I played with Sha. And Sha told everybody how good I was and that he's actually the one that had me. He didn't have me, but the result of playing with him one summer is what had me stop playing baseball and go straight to basketball. So you just had to work. When you're coming up in Queens, that's all we had at that time was the basketball court. People wasn't playing baseball. They wasn't playing football like that. So in order to get on that court, you had to be working a lot, a lot. So that's where I got that from. And then my mother was like that. So was my father. So I just always knew I had to work at things to try to be the best.
I love that. Then you went into college.
Yeah.
Scholarship.
Yeah, but I lost my scholarship because I didn't. I was coming from playing sports, and we did
Okay.
something dumb at five-star basketball camp. We stole stuff from the canteen and stole basketballs, deflated basketballs, stole video games, and all of us, well, damn near all of us got blackballed and got our scholarships taken away.
Wow.
Yeah, so after that, I still had good grades. So my mother forged my name and told me, "You going to college?" And I was like, "How am I going to college? I didn't do this and that." She's like, "Well, your SAT score wasn't 1110. You had a B average in school while you played basketball, and I got Morgan State to give you a scholarship. So you're leaving,
Let's go,
in a
Mom.
couple of days." And how my
So you're
father.
leaving.
And my father scooped me up, and I was in Queens on maybe a Saturday, and I was in Baltimore by Wednesday at college. Word is born. At college, waiting for class to start. She took me to sign up for my classes, everything. And they stayed with me for one day, and they left. And they was gone. I was at Morgan State.
But that's such a beautiful story.
Now after it's successful. But you can imagine the queens you look at, you like, yo, I look like my mother and father. They serious about this college shit? Yo, nigga. Yo, come over here, nigga. I told you, you going to school. In front of everybody. And I was like, oh, shit, niggas. Like, yo, you going to have a blast in school. It's not like 12th grade. You get freedom. You can wear a hat in class.
You're like, what? Like, a hat?
I can wear hats in class and show up. And nigga, you make your own schedule. So if you don't want to get up till 10, nigga, start your class at 10. And I was like, what? You can, and then I went on campus, all them girls was there. I was like, oh my God, going to school uptown, you thought you had a bunch of girls. Yo, I went to school on 135th and Convent, okay? And it was full of girls, right? I was spoiled by women at a young age because at 13, I started school uptown in 9th grade. So coming from Queens, you uptown with the Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn, and Manhattan, and all these different girls, like Spanish girls everywhere, bro. Oh shit. In Queens, you got some Spanish girls, but you got to go to a certain spot. In this school, it's Spanish girls everywhere. I mean, it's black girls everywhere, everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, I play ball. I loved it. I fell in love with it. You know what I'm saying? And then when I went to school, when I went to Morgan State, it was the same thing as uptown, but it was girls from fucking Maryland.
Yeah.
Philly. Baltimore.
You really had
DC,
a taste of
New York, Virginia, wow. New Jersey, Connecticut, Boston, Memphis, California, Texas. And then you go into homecomings.
You're like,
and other schools is right there, HU homecoming is 30 minutes from Morgan State. Oh my God, now I'm at Howard homecoming. This is when I'm 17. I'm starting college at 17. I started uptown at 13. So 17, and then 2 months in, I get my car. I have my own apartment. I'm rolling. And I'm like, damn, there wasn't nothing. I had my own crib, my own car. It was crazy, and I was automatically popular because a lot of people that went to school with me went to Morgan State, too, and I didn't know. So people from the basketball team was there.
So it worked out.
It was crazy. So it was like I was like I had like a new home quick, and then I experienced hate uptown, but the hate at Morgan State was even more, but it made me that much more popular fast.
Oh, that's interesting.
It made me really popular, so... In my freshman year, these DC kids, one wound up running these dudes. They're major now within the promo marketing world. Like they live in California, so they pulled me on, and they was like, "Yo, we want those parties." And I was like, "So why y'all telling me that? Because you're popular and you're from New York and we're from DC, and you can help us bring the crowd." And I was like, "Throw a party?" I was like, "Nigga, I don't know nothing about throwing no parties," and They was like, well, people make money off of this thing and blah, blah, blah. I was like, make money. I was trying to figure out how I'm going to make money in college because I wasn't getting no job. So I was living off of my school loans and I was selling weed. And I was like, I never like, although weed ain't no drug dealer type of shit, I just never liked selling drugs. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a nigga who wants to go check fiends and argue with niggas. Oh, if my shit is $3 short, I gotta check a nigga. That ain't me. I'm like, it's $3 short, so what? You know what I'm saying? It's $3. You know what I'm saying? What's the big deal? In that world, you can't be like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I never really wanted to do that, so I was looking for a way to make money. Do the party. I packed the party. Made a couple dollars. Got the bug through my own party because they didn't make a lot of money. They didn't put in money. It was weird because they were doing it not to make money. They were doing it. I didn't know the big vision. I'm still a nigga. So the big vision is to blow this up and get sponsorship even back then. I ain't know nothing about no damn sponsor. I'm like, yo, nigga, got paid at the door, bro. I'm putting out $500. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all putting up $500.
I need the money now.
It's $2,000. Why would I do this party and not make my $500 back? I was lost by that. I really was. I was like, why would a sponsorship? So how many parties we going to lose money to get sponsored? Nah, bro. I'm 18, 17. I can't afford that. I can't afford to lose money. So I spun off from them and started throwing parties on my own. And it took off. And that's how I started in the music business. Yeah.
But I love that story because I feel like, now you can say college was worth it.
No, college was definitely worth it.
But do you feel now if an artist asks you, you know, is it worth me going to college?
Or definitely. I graduated too. I didn't just go to college. I graduated with 2 degrees. Yeah, college, although I didn't use my 2 degrees, college taught me a lot about relationship building. Mike Lighty went to school with me. Joe Claire was in school with me. The dude that produced the Martin Lawrence show graduated from Morgan State and used to come to school with me. Wow. There's a comedian, Sherrod, that went to school with me. It's mad people that's from the Morgan State, but they don't tell you. And then there's other relationships that I made, me being in college, when I threw parties, Clue's girlfriend at my time was roommates with my girlfriend. Wow. That's how me and Clue got tight. Clue came to me and was like, yo, you both from Queens. I mean, this was before he was blown up. Yo, you from Queens, and I'm from Queens. Your girl is best friends with my girl. Why am I not doing your parties? Why is all these other niggas doing your parties, bro? And I was like, all right. I swear to God, I was sitting out there because S was doing my parties because I'm an uptown nigga, too. That's what Queens niggas say because when I went to school up here, I stayed up here. My grandmother lived up here. So I spent a lot of time uptown. So Queens niggas be saying, oh, you an uptown nigga too, you uptown nigga too. So S used to, me and S got cool from a guy named Fat Daddy. So when I first started doing parties, S was carrying crates for Kid Capri. You feel what I'm saying? So we used to go to S house. We used to cut school and go to S house because S had us by like 3 years. Of, you know what I'm saying? So S was home. So we would cut school and Fat Daddy be like, yo, let's go to S house. I know S real name and everything. You know what I'm saying? So when I started throwing parties, it was only right. Yo, S is throwing parties. He's blowing up uptown, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to bring S down here. S going to do my parties. And they was big. SNS, Craig G. They was all doing all the wild uptown parties. Hey, yo, all right. All the uptown shit was lit. Puff Daddy was an uptown nigga, although he's from Mount, he lived up here in the mood of Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. He was an uptown nigga. Mace was popping, Cameron popping.
Oh my God.
You feel what I'm saying? So S had it, but Clue was that nigga too. So I made the move because my girl, I thought, you know, you young. I think I'm going to be with this girl for the rest of my life. She's beautiful. She popping. I'm locked in. What the fuck are we talking about? So how am I not going to have Clue? Clue's going to be around me. Because Clue's ex-girl is Dia. Dia owns Lobos Tequila. She used to run Cone's all Puffy shit. So she wound up being somebody major. We always knew Dia was going to be major because she was smart. Mm-hmm. They whole girl crew, Dia, Keisha, Lois. And there was another one of them. But they was all smart motherfuckers that went to St. Francis Prep in Queens. And they wound up being at Morgan State. You know what I'm saying? So we always knew Dia and Keisha and them was going to be successful. You know what I'm saying? So I was locked in. So I was like, how am I going to be with Keisha? And this is her best friend. I'm thinking, you know, you young. Clue's going to be with her forever, too. You know what I'm saying? So who's going to do my parties? Fuck it.
Forever.
But honestly, S been my man. We probably haven't been the same since. But it for me personally, it was one of the best moves I could have ever made. It was like God. Like Clue is not just a colleague of mine. He's become one of my best friends. When yes. Niggas tried to blackball me out the game, Clue held on to me and made sure I had a paycheck and let me borrow money so I could be okay. I don't think nobody, and I'm not taking nothing from S because S is a great guy, but me and Clue have built over the years so much to be so able much. To, like, it was just supposed to be. Even when Mano, you would see me, he'd be like, yo, you and Clue been together. Like, Clue really love you, bro. Like,
yo, that look just like
we,
Mano too.
Yeah, we know Clue really loves you, bro, for real, because y'all niggas really been together for a long time. Through thick and thin, through niggas that he don't fuck with, I fuck with, niggas he don't fuck, I mean, niggas that I don't fuck with, he fuck with. It never had a clash. Like, niggas know where me and my man stand. You know what I'm saying? So it was a good move for me.
Wow. That was history in like a hot minute. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And shouts to Air Pollution.
Shouts to Air Pollution. Yeah, exactly.
How was that like? I mean, and I don't want to zoom into this world of podcasting. So wait a minute. Wait, before we get into that.
Yeah.
Because then you went into management.
Yeah,
you went on
projects
with... Yo, when I saw Mark Anthony, I mean, the list is long, but when I saw Mark Anthony, I was like, "Esso."
I was around for all that. Actually, my producers was on those projects, so it wasn't me, but I managed producers that was on that project. Shout to Lauren, shout to Troy. They did Mark Anthony. They did fucking Jennifer Lopez when she was hot.
Right?
They did Genuine, Jessica Simpson, Celine Dion. We did all that different type of shit. You know what I'm saying? I was with the pop dude. I was with Corey Rooney. If y'all know about Corey Rooney, he was a vice president of Sony. He's from South Jamaica, Queens, mm-hmm. too. He's with Tommy Mottola. He's a musical genius. You know what I'm saying? So he was over all those projects. So when you manage producers that was with them, they basically put you on the work and you just had to handle the management responsibilities. But they tried to put me out the game, too.
Oh.
And Corey came on my show. We cool. Like, it's funny.
Like,
Corey and Tommy tried to put me out the game. And then Corey wound up being the one that gave me my first job in the business.
Okay, so life is full circle.
It's full circle, yeah.
You know, and I like the fact that the way you talk about being put out the game.
It's just a reality.
No, but your reality and how there's a celebration to that right now. Because I feel like people are so afraid to get blackballed. That's so, people are so afraid.
It's something to be afraid of. Like, yo, listen. Listen, if I didn't have DJ Clue, it would have worked. Do y'all understand that? Like, there wouldn't have been none of this. Heineken met me because I was managing and road managing and booking for DJ Clue. He met me on a whim. He didn't meet me trying to do content, nigga. He wanted to get Clue on his show. And Clue don't really do shows, so I stayed in touch with the man for 9 months and got it done for him. And then when he came to the radio station, everybody knew him. And I'm like, why the fuck do they know this nigga? This is 50. What the fuck is that? I didn't know what it was. And then me and him talked. I took him to dinner. And I was trying to manage Heineken. That was what I was supposed to do. I took him to dinner. Yo, let's talk about management. And I worked with him. I managed him for like 3 weeks. We got money too. But he just wasn't ready for management. Like, it took me time to work on Heineken to transform his thought process from content to business. I was giving him paid $500 to just go places and tweet. And I would be like, why are you not tweeting, bro?
Seriously.
Why are you not taking pictures? Yo, I'm going to get to it. That's not how business go, bro. They paid you and they looking for they messages to go up and you're there and you're not tweeting. You have to tweet 20 times while you're there, bro. You're getting $500. Then I'm showing up to the spot like, yo, bro, what's up? This ain't going to work, bro. You know what I'm saying? This ain't going to work, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is easy money and you passing it up. We trying to build. But he was so cool. And I could talk to him and he'd be do something wrong and he wouldn't get offended. So we just would talk on the phone. I would be bored in the house making money. And me and him just started having a relationship to talk on the phone. And he would be like, this would be dope. This is a dope show. Like, get the fuck out of here, nigga. Show, I ain't doing no shit in front of no camera. You out your mind, nigga. Nigga tried to kill me already when I was a young boy. I'm not going to put my face in front of no camera.
Wow.
Niggas don't really
see,
like
that
me like that.
Too. Like, that's errors. Like, coming into this new era, everything's on camera.
Niggas don't like me like that. I ain't fucking with that, bro. And then I went and did, me and Clue was putting out this thing called the Clue Lace. And I thought I was going to transform sports athletics through safety around you not turning your foot and stuff like that and saving your Achilles. I got a special lace for it. And I went on a podcast to promote it. And when I came out the podcast, Han said, yo, how you felt about that shit? I said, yo, nigga, I killed that shit. Yo, they put the microphone. Yo, nigga, I murked that shit.
I loved it.
And the nigga was like, do a show with me. And I was like, who, me? Fuck you, what? fuck you want to do a show with me for? Yo, you going to be big in the game. Pause. I was like, Han, I stutter. I this, I that. People been trying to get me to rap for years. Clue, Rock Wilder, Sylvia Rune, just to name a few that wanted me to be a rapper. And I was like, nah, I don't want to be no rapper. They be killing them niggas. They be, nah, niggas already don't fuck with me. Why the fuck would I want to be a rapper? You know what I'm saying? And then and I was like, I stutter and I don't trust niggas to be in the booth. And you know how shit get out. Oh, this nigga don't write, this nigga stutter. And all that. I was like, I don't want to do it because it's going to cause a problem. And Han said to me, he said, I don't give a fuck about your stuttering. It was so matter of fact. He was like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I was like, I'll give it a try with you. And that's what happened. I said, I'll fuck with it then. I said, I'm willing to put it down. You've been solid with me. Let's try it. And we tried it, and the cameraman was trash, and this didn't work, and we couldn't get it up and running. And then he called his old man, and we started, like, putting shows down a backfield. And they wasn't getting no big response, but now it's going on the gram. The clips is going viral. And my first viral clip, I was like, nobody heard from fucking Nicki Minaj. And I was like, oh, she probably pregnant. She want to have a kid, blah, blah, blah. And it went viral. And Clue called me and said, yo, take that shit down.
You're like, wait, it's my moment.
I was like, what the fuck you mean? You want me to take that shit down? He's like, because Nicki think, they going to think I told you she's pregnant. I said, she's pregnant? I said, I'm leaving that shit up. You bugging. I didn't even know she was pregnant, bro. I'm just doing my music business shit. You know what I'm saying? When people leave the eyesight and you know that they love music and they love making money, I'm like, she's probably going to have a baby. But we took it down. And because we took it down, Clue started to help us. So when he would get guests like YG, he would be like, come up to the station. Y'all can interview YG. Come up here. I got this nigga on my show. I'm gonna get the nigga to give you 15 minutes. We had Little Baby before Little Baby was big, and my cameraman didn't show up. We had Cowboy when Cowboy had that big record. Cameraman didn't show up. We had Saweetie when she had the obviously all these motherfuckers was the same day. It was all at the station. You walk in, that's how power was you. You walk in the station, they be like, Little Baby's coming through, Saweetie's coming through, and Cowboy's coming through. We would be like, oh, word. It. It's up because you had Self there. Mm-hmm. You had Clue there. So they was commanding guests. Then you had people like Nala Simone that was just button. She was just button, so she would have people coming through. Then you had fucking, who else was there? It was other people that would be bringing guests. And you had DJ Will that would come because Will, if it was a Friday, then Will was on at 12. Then you had Clue, Self, and Will. You know what I'm saying? So we would be at the radio station all night. Niggas don't even know. Niggas had nothing to do. Niggas at the radio station popping bottles, eating Mr. Chow's, all types of shit. That was the old station. You can't do that shit no more. You know what I'm saying? But we would be having fun. Migos was coming through shooting the Love and Hip Hop because Self was on Love and Hip Hop back then. See, people don't even know Migos was on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? I was there when Self was talking to Cardi B about being on Love and Hip Hop. I was sitting right next to him. I remember Cardi B was like, yo, we need to talk about, I'm going to act like I'm pregnant by you, Self. And Self was like, well, what's going to happen when you lose the baby? You know what I'm saying? That was the plot. I remember going home like, oh, shit, this shit not real.
Yo, I can hear Self right now.
I was like, yo, this shit not real. And then I was like, then I found out that's other people. It is real. But you have to plot with your people to figure out what the fuck you gonna tell them. So when Cardi B was talking about the baby, I don't think she was planning on telling Love and Hip Hop it was fake. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Herself is gonna go up there and act like she was pregnant.
Yeah.
At least that's what she was trying to do. Herself was like, nah, that's a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't believe this shit. I never said this on camera. I never even mentioned this shit. Self gonna be like, yo, I forgot you was sitting right there with me. I was. And I started learning shit. Because now I'm looking at shit from a creative eye.
That's right.
And not a business eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I started saying, all right. And then I came out, then I did something. Angie Martinez and, what's her name? German.
Honey German.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Why I couldn't pull her name out? That's my people, so I'm bugging. She came out with Angie. And she called me by my real name. She said, Randy. And they were both standing there. She was like, yo, we just heard your clip and shit. yo, you got a great voice, right? You got a great voice. Nobody sounds like you with this space. But you got to market yourself like a rapper. I was like, market myself like a rapper. How the fuck am I going to do that as a podcaster and a YouTuber? And I went home for 3 months. Shout out to German. I went home for 3 months and smoked weed and was like, what the fuck is she telling me? Marketing myself. And I said, oh, shit. I got it. I got to market and promote myself. Nobody in YouTube and podcasting markets and promote themselves. All the guys that are big, pause, had a name prior to potting.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So I said, oh, shit. Joe Buttons, Nori, Math, Gilly and Wallow. Not Wallow, but Gilly. They all have some type of fan base behind them. I don't have a fan base. So I got to market and promote myself. What do rappers do? You don't see a rapper in the same clothes twice. I don't wear the same clothes twice. At least not on camera. Right? Rappers get in shape. Yo, I play basketball. I go bike riding. I do my push-ups. I used to lift with Clue. I got to eat clean. I got to eat better. This bald head that I'm rocking don't work. If you're a rapper, they ask you to try a whole new look. I'm going to let my hair grow. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to work on my stuttering. I'm going to do my practicing inside the mirror. That's what rappers got to do. That's their stage show. That's my stage show. You know what I'm saying? I got to cultivate my look. This is who I am. I'm going to be fly. I'm not just wearing whatever. You got to pay me. Like I said, oh, rappers get paid. You got to pay me. You know what I'm saying? And all that started to develop. And then when I got on the other show, people started seeing, no, I did relationship shows first. That's how my fan base started really growing, was from the relationship shows. My fan base was all women. Then I accompanied Heineken to Mav's show. By the time Heineken did a couple of shows, the next thing you know, I got an opportunity to be on the show. And that's when people started seeing my musical knowledge. So now I'm doing a relationship shit. And now if you see see the musical knowledge. So now that creates, that starts to create the popularity and people wanting to see what else I have to give to the people. And then my marketing was, I was doing clothing capsules. I sold merch. I'm known for smoking weed. You know, I hair products, living, working out, my bike riding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's all the things that rappers or a singer or whoever has to do to market in this day and age. It's not about your music. My music is my clips.
Yeah.
It's my episodes.
Yep.
So nobody's dropping more episodes than me. I'm dropping 8 episodes a month.
Yo, I'm dropping different podcasts.
Yeah, I'm dropping 8 on Bag Fuel. Ooh. That has nothing to do with ear pollution. That has nothing to do with 8 bar clips. That has nothing to do with the crossover that I have. Nothing. Nothing to do with none of that shit. I get 6.7 million hits a month just on my own, and I'm not famous. I'm just popular right now. You know what I'm saying? So I
took back in college.
Yeah,
we're back that exactly. First in college.
So I took all of those things. And that's why I always say I bought the business to podcasting. Nobody can deny that. Everybody's doing business now because of me. Niggas is charging niggas. Niggas know they value. Niggas see me hosting. Let me tell you, hosting.
We were on the phone for not even 30 minutes recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was enlightened on a business tip. Just in 15 minutes, you were talking to me with the business.
Yeah, because people focus on content. Like I tell people, there's content and the rappers with the music and the songwriter that writes songs. If you're doing skits or whatever, I understand. That's where you think you want to go viral from. If you don't have the business behind going viral, you're not going to make money. The business is the most important thing. And I'm telling the people this and they looking at me. I'm like, I'm creative now. I'm not even speaking from a businessman standpoint. I'm telling you from a creative standpoint. The reason why me and my niggas is making money, you tell them niggas, Ghost and Haim will tell you, yo, this nigga be on us about the business, yo. Because if we don't make no money, you think I'm doing this for clout? Fuck it, I'm not doing this shit for no clout. Nigga, I'm good on the clout. I've been good before I was on the camera.
That's what I'm saying.
So why would I come to the camera for more clout? Nigga, clout ain't paying no bills. Women don't like niggas with clout. Nigga, women like niggas with money. If nobody knows you and you got money, you that guy. If everybody knows you and you broke, you trash. That's just what it is. It's a popular broke-ass nigga. Bitch, why you with him? He can't do nothing for you. I got dick too. What?
True.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what people get caught up in. I don't focus on the content. I focus on promoting myself and my brand and my knowledge.
Wow. We just got like a whole piece of history right here.
Yeah.
I mean, from all you've done, being a, I see you as a, you're moving the culture right now. You're holding, I say this to say this. Right now, there's a lot of gatekeepers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of us are worried about where's rap going? Where's the culture going? Where's mm-hmm. the, but then I come to, I'm sitting here with you right mm-hmm. now. And the way you're breaking down how artists should be, the business of it. Mm-hmm. How you sit on interviews and you're real, you're holding nothing back. Whether it is that they're talking about a friend of yours, whether it is, I just feel like, this is so important in the culture. As a culture influencer.
They don't want it, though, JC. Everybody's talking to me about Hitmaker. I give him credit for the last interviews. I bring him up because he's the one that told me, I think, on camera. He said, yo, you know people want you back in the music business, right? Because it's a different type of vibe with me. Like, and I'm not saying, like, I'm going to take over the music business and it's all. But people like me, we set the vibe. We bring the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, the music business is all vibe. It's not about just business and music. It's about a vibe too. So when people understand, it's not too many people in the music business. I have the ability to launch you online. I have the ability to make your music. I can vocal produce anybody. I have the ability to help you pick beats and bring producers to you. And I can take that same music right to Sirius Satellite and get it spun. Write to Power 105, write to Hot 97, write to Power 99, write to Gray Street and get it spun. Nobody can do that. Nobody. I don't give a fuck. Some people can do a lot of it, but they can't do it all. I can host your parties and I can put your events together.
So this is why they were going so hard to blackball you too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because
I mean, the way you talk, that's almost genius
but
on all aspects.
But they, but like I was going to say, like Hitmaker said, but everybody's worried that you're going to tell niggas everything. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm telling people, they don't even understand what I'm telling them. They get discouraged by my information instead of saying, yo, I'm glad this nigga told me. You know what I'm saying? So there's so much more information that I know that I understand why the powers that be don't want me to tell them, because all people that you, all they're trying to do is use it negatively. They're not taking my information and using it positively. They say, oh, this is why I heard SO say this. This is why, because I ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? Nah, relax. You already know it's because you ain't got no money. So don't ask them to do something for no money. You have to figure out your value and how you can work your thing out. Where are you going to bring value? Like, y'all helped me today. I got the people waiting. I turn around and I help you. I bring value. I charge niggas. I'm sure that y'all charge niggas. I charge niggas $1,500 to be on their show. And they look at me like, $1,500? Yes. Shit. What the fuck? Like, I'm like, yo,
you
bro.
You see this knowledge? You see this knowledge you're spitting? There's a whole class
right there. But they don't appreciate the knowledge. They're looking for the hits.
So with all that, what's one thing you love about podcasting?
I don't know. This is the first thing I love since basketball. Like this. I love potting more than the music business, which will blow people's mind. Because at one time, I loved being in the music business. It's not the same no more. But what I love about potting, I love, to be honest, I like reaching the people. I've never had this opportunity to reach this many people before in life. And I didn't think that it would matter because I always held my information close to me. And I knew I had the information because I know this is a taboo name, but even people like Puffy would ask me for my musical opinion. And they say what he wants, he's still a musical genius. Clue asked me for my musical opinion. Dr. Dre said I was the greatest producer manager that he's ever met. And at that time, he had been in the game for 20 years. This was 2005. He said that to my face in front of Rock Wilder and in front of Yummy Bingham. You know what I'm saying? So it's those type of situations. Sylvia Rhone saying, I'm more of a rapper than a manager. Mm-hmm. You know, managing Maya. Maya was the biggest mistake that I ever made in the business ever. Was messing the relationship up with her and the business relationship up with her was one of the biggest mistakes that I ever made. She was like one of the coolest people ever. You know what I'm saying? So going through those type of things, knowing Beyonce, working with Beyonce through Rock Wilder, having these people really like know you and know who you are, knowing Hov. You know what I'm saying? These people know you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, you were promoting Hov's parties back in the day.
Yeah. I did Hov's first show in Baltimore ever.
Wow.
Hov and Foxy. Although he went in a magazine and said it was his worst show ever. Hey, I was 18. I was trying to put it down. That's the same party that Clue came to and said, I should be doing your parties. So look what it did.
Wow.
It helped me lock in with
Again,
Clue.
Full circle. All these moments of full circle.
Yeah, I remember Dame saying, well, who threw this party? And Dame pulling me to the side like, yo, you threw this party. We need niggas like you up at Rockefeller and stuff like that. And I didn't even understand who Jay-Z and them was. This was years ago. And I was like, Rockefeller? I was like, nigga, if I'm fucking with somebody, I'm fucking with Big Puff. That's what my mind was on. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I didn't even know who was what. I was just starting to manage DJs and throw parties. So I didn't understand. I didn't understand what he was saying to me. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's so much shit. I can talk here for there's so much shit.
What I took from this most, though, first of all, that college tip. The fact that you put such a light on college and such a business aspect on it. Like, people, I think, miss that aspect. So many, you meet so many people, so many opportunities.
And you learn to grow. And you learn to grow as an adult. You're going to spend nights hungry. You're going to learn to cook. You're going to value a car. You're going to value money. It changes everything for you. When you get that school loan check, when you get the return after your classes paid, and you see that $7,000, wow. Okay, you can get some money. Yeah, you got to pay it back, but you got to pay all money back. Mm-hmm. You can get yourself some money being in school.
That's right.
It changed my whole outlook. I learned to throw parties in school. I gained relationships in school. You can't gain relationships in school on the street like you can in school, because when people's going to school, 9.7 times out of 10, they're trying to be better. You know that already.
Yes.
And on these streets, you don't know nothing.
Yes.
You're around like minds of people that you know is trying to progress. Some of them is rich. Some of them is dumb smart. Mm-hmm. Some of them have, you know, that likable ability. Some have relationships. Some come from a good family. Some have values. You already know that on that campus. Even if it's beef, niggas ain't trying to kill you. I'm not saying shit don't happen on college campus, but it's way less likely than it is uptown on Lenox Avenue.
It's for real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. It's a safety thing. You selling the little weed on campus, cops ain't coming to get you. Mm. And back then, weed was illegal. They not coming to get you. You know who the weed man? He smelled like it in class. Ain't nobody teaching. He sweating this nigga. This nigga's in school. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's a toy, yo.
I love for the generation coming up right now to hear that. To hear that there's still light in going to school. And
white kids are still going to school. When you're watching all the sports, you're watching the University of North Carolina, you watch all these big sporting events that you like, right? The white kids are in school. Only the black kids that say, yo, do it remotely. You can't get on relationships remotely.
No.
You can't meet the president of Verizon's daughter online. You got to be outside. And you got to be where these people is at, over in Malibu and all that type of shit. Go to Pepperdine. Spend your money. Go out to California and go to Pepperdine. Be in Malibu. Come out to your classroom and go down to the beach in Malibu and call me back and tell me what you're talking about. Tell me if uptown is crazy or not. It helps you see shit. You know what I'm saying? People take you places. You stay at people's homes. People will open their homes for you. Oh, my college friend is coming down, mommy. Oh, not the nigga from the corner. No, he's college. Okay, you good.
Yep.
I got room for this nigga.
True.
Let's say, yo, people don't understand that. Knowledge is key.
The footwork, I feel that, went behind everything you're doing right now. If they could say, many things about you. Beautiful things. That is one takeaway. What would you hope they say about you, SO?
I'm honest. It's honest. That's it. You might not like everything I say. You might not like what I do. But it's all straightforward and honest. This is who I am. I'm not putting on nothing for the camera. Like, people look at me, they're like, yo, you get paid to be you. I'm loud. I crack jokes all day. I smoke weed all day. I love sports. I love being around women. I love my wife.
You love good conversations.
I love good conversations. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the light I feel you've brought to podcast. I feel like you're everywhere. You're doing a few things. You're not subject to just one outlet.
But you gotta have knowledge for that. That's what Ish says. Like, Ish, you know, me and Ish went to college together. So, Ish, he calls me and says, yo, nobody can really fuck with you. Because he isn't going to talk about himself, but he feels this way about me and him because he said it. He's like, we can talk about anything. He's like, if I want to roll up on you and talk about politics, he said, even if you don't know about real estate, you can talk to me about the business side of real estate. You've bought your own house. You've done mad shit. You know what I'm saying? You graduated from college. You've been a basketball star. You've been a music business star before this camera shit was lit. You know what I'm saying? I've traveled the world. Done wild shit with wild women. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do countless things. I've bought expensive cars. I spent too much money. I filed for bankruptcy. I was out the game. You know what I'm saying? Niggas blackballed me. This brought me back in the game. Yeah, I was working with Clue, but working with Clue is a legend. Clue is a legend that's, like, you know what he's going to make, and you know what I'm going to make, and when it comes, I charge them, I go, it's easy. It's all standard. It's going to be $5,000, $7,000, or $10,000, depending upon what we're doing. The travel is going to be me, him, and the security. He needs one suite, two singles. Know what I'm saying? That's easy.
Good business.
Yeah, that's easy. You know what I'm saying? But you have to, like, you gotta just put your footprint in this shit. And my footprint is, I'm straight up with niggas. I'm honest. That's it. There's no trickery to it. I don't like tricks.
I love it. I thank you for being so honest.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me, the love. What it took to make SO today, what we're loving on every platform out there.
I appreciate that.
I love it.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
I really love it. And the times you reached out to me, bro. Like, I really love
it. Yeah, you don't show up, though. She don't show up for nothing. I don't invite her no more. Just so y'all know, she's not invited. She canceled on me last week, and I was like, she's not even going to show up for the pull-up show?
No.
And ask her how many times I texted this week. I texted Sunday. I texted Monday.
Even this morning.
I texted this morning. And I texted saying I'm 30 minutes away. That's a fact. And when I pulled up, I'm looking like, oh, these niggas ain't here. Yo, I've been sitting there. I'm like, these niggas still ain't here. She said she 5 minutes away. I'm like, yo, what's up, yo? But she made it. Nah. So all is forgiven.
Yo. No, we're going. The invite's got. You still invite me anyway, so
nah,
it don't matter.
No.
You still invite me.
No, nah, I didn't. I didn't invite you. You know what I told you? You don't come to
my. No, the last one you invited me to, you told me even before it was. Before it was even a thing, you told me.
I invited you to the Dumbo house?
Yep.
So that was your last one. She didn't get no more. That was a mistake. I'm too nice.
Nah, I'm gonna text you every day. Fuck that shit. Yep. Yo, SO, I thank you.
Thank you for having me. Follow me on that gram, ESSOWRLD, and I'm launching bagthrough.com April 22nd. It's special, too. It's a special website. Shout out to CEO L for putting it together for me. Bag Fuel in the building.
Just see the love, the pull up show. We out.